This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
The Jocks Roundtable, driven by Benchmark Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, is on now.
Are you ready?
Here we go, live on a Monday, and the Super Bowl is set. 49ers and Chiefs. And Vegas tells you instantly this is going to be a really, really good football game with two offenses that are not afraid to put points on the board.
Pat Mahomes is a quarterback that is under 25. He's already won an MVP, and he has a chance to become the first player under 25 to win an MVP and a Super Bowl championship. That's pretty amazing when this kid came out of Texas Tech. I don't know how you guys felt about Pat Mahomes. I never envisioned this.
No, I mean, we are so, I think, geared over the years, rightfully so, to assume these air raid quarterbacks aren't going to make it in the NFL. These guys that play in these so quarterback-friendly systems like Cliff Kingsbury and Mike Leach have coached over the years. And they put up these massive numbers in college, and they do it sometimes in conferences that don't really emphasize defense like the Big 12. And you just kind of blow it off when they're drafted. But this day and age, more and more air raid quarterbacks, and Patrick Mahomes leading the charge, are working in the NFL.
I'll tell you, I watched his last game with you guys. We were in Dallas for the Alabama-Michigan State semifinal game. And they were playing, I believe, LSU in the bowl game. And said to myself, see, doesn't work against the NFL quality defense. Well, it does work against NFL quality defense.
And he's just got those intangibles. That run before the half.
Yeah. That was the backbreaker.
Yeah, 53 yards rushing, but they were 53 golden yards. You know, they were just what they needed to break the back.
And Lance, he runs it in with 11 seconds on the clock. I mean, if you force him out of bounds, he'll get a crack or two at the end zone, but they're probably going to have to settle for three. And I don't know that it changes the outcome of the game. It may change the final score only. But when you were a Tennessee fan, I think you had to feel like, boy, that might have broken our back right there, right before the half, just to not let him throw it in the end zone, but let him run it in the end zone from that far out.
Yeah, and pretty amazing. I mean, back-to-back weeks now, they've been down double digits at home and able to come back and win those games handily.
No panic.
First people to do that in NFL history, to be down double digits twice in the NFL playoffs and come back and win games. They go to the Super Bowl now to play the San Francisco 49ers. And the 49ers took care of the Packers. Boy, to have a, you know, you have bad games occasionally where the Packers were just out of sorts from the beginning. And I wonder, I mean, I heard this discussion on the drive in. Is it at Rodgers' feet in the offense for not scoring, or was it at the feet of the defense? It's got to be at the feet of the defense. If you can't even force Garoppolo to have to throw double-digit passes, then that's a problem. It's at the feet of the defense.
Well, you give up 285 rushing yards, and this has kind of been the definition of the 49ers offense and how they flex. And then, you know, they're really good defensively, but you mentioned Garoppolo, not double digits yesterday. And I had no idea, you know, we did those boards yesterday and we were going back through it and we were going on his attempts, and for him to only attempt 8 passes and them to win this game going away by 17 points, that's pretty amazing.
Like if we had done a Cowan poll, right? And I said, Our poll question was, of the four quarterbacks, which one will have only 8 pass attempts?
I would have said 100% it's going to be Tannehill.
I think it might have been the only 100% vote we've ever had. Nobody would have. First of all, nobody would have picked Mahomes. You wouldn't have thought Aaron Rodgers. Why would you have guessed Garoppolo just out of the blue like that? I mean, 100% you would have thought that would have been Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, if I had said which was higher, Raheem Mostert's attempts or Garoppolo's attempts.
We would have laughed at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Dunaway. Ask a real question.
And Shanahan rode Raheem to the end. 220 yards, 4 touchdowns. And what's amazing, in his entire college career at Purdue, he only had 759 yards rushing. He had 220 yesterday in the NFL.
I mean, look, this is system, and Kyle Shanahan's done an amazing job with it because Tevin Coleman's been in it. Breida's been in it. Yuzefek, I mean, they've got different guys that they continue to run, but Mostert was the guy yesterday, had 160 at halftime. Just an amazing performance from San Francisco. And I'm a little surprised that Kansas City's actually the favorite in this game.
Are you? I mean, it's pretty much a pick 'em, right? Kansas City's favored one.
Yeah, they opened 2.5, and then, you know, when you saw this huge lead from San Francisco, the numbers started to dwindle and come back a little bit.
I did see last night they were discussing they try not to make Super Bowls pick 'em. Like, it's a rarity to say.
I don't think we've ever had a pick 'em.
Yeah, that we don't want it to be a pick 'em for some reason. We like to have a favorite and an underdog. Is there something about pushing you to the window more if you think you've got the underdog or the favorite?
I don't know why.
One point or a pick 'em, I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah, I have no idea why.
But they try not to make, it's just a sort of a gentleman's code in Vegas. They don't make Super Bowls pick 'em ever.
I guess the only reason if you would list somebody two or more is you could have a money line on the other, you know, the outright dog. So just another angle to bet.
Yeah. So Kansas City's back to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1969. Super Bowl IV is when they were there. And San Francisco will try to tie New England and Pittsburgh for the most Super Bowl championships of all time. The Pats and the Steelers each have 6. The Niners are going for their 6. And those three franchises, they've sort of owned the Super Bowl championship.
Yeah, they have.
That'd be 18 of the 54.
I mean, when I was a kid, the San Francisco 49ers were the Super Bowl franchise. I mean, when I first really started watching the NFL, I mean, they were... You know, when I became a Dolphins fan, was Dan Marino's first year as a starter when they made the run to the Super Bowl and they got stomped by the 49ers. I hated the 49ers, man, but they were the Super Bowl franchise. They were the model to beat. They were what the Patriots are right now.
You know, when we were watching the games yesterday, I brought up the fact that it's been 50 years since Kansas City has gotten there, and we all thought that was pretty amazing considering what a really good franchise it is. Even more amazing, it's been 25 years since San Francisco won a championship.
Yeah, you could never – I mean, this is a great example of how it can get away from you and it takes forever to get it back. Like, if you're an Alabama or a Clemson fan right now, you think, oh, we'll just win another championship. There's a time where the door closes and there's never any guarantees you're going to get back because even post Joe Montana and Bill Walsh, they just flip over to Seifert and Steve Young and just keep going. But once that ended, they have been scrambling for 20 years now, like I said, 25 years, just to try to get that back.
Yeah, if you would have gone back to 1995 with Steve Young and that domination of San Diego, you would have said, you know, we'll have a couple more in the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
2012, they lose in the Super Bowl. Who was the quarterback of that 49ers team?
Colin Kaepernick.
Yep. Got him all the way to the Super Bowl and the loss to the Ravens. So
that was the blackout game in the Superdome.
Where it went out in the lights went out in the Superdome. That seems not that long ago, but 2012 is that long ago now, and the 49ers try to get a championship after losing then, and then it's back to the Young and Montana days before that. So it's a big buildup now, not this weekend, but the following weekend, Super Bowl 54, 49ers in Kansas City. Later in this show today, we will continue our Super Boat giveaway with our friends at Airport Marine, and you'll need to help us out with this. This is where you guys become a part of that. And we'll lay out the details a little bit later on. But basically, later today, we'll need our Jocks Roundtable listeners to start picking the score of the game.
Yeah. And if one of the scores that gets picked by us wins the poll vote by you and is the submitted score, if that score hits it, anybody that buys a boat between now and 10 days from now, January 30th, the first year's payments are on Airport Marine. So you, the listeners, are the ones that are trying to help out people that are buying a boat.
Now, the other big story yesterday was De'Eriq King, the free agent quarterback in college, who's now moving around. And there were reports he was on his way to Miami. He did visit Miami, and he liked it a lot and could have ended up playing football there. But last night, De'Eriq King was saying, listen, I haven't committed to anywhere. He still names Arkansas and LSU among the other teams in the mix. LSU had their celebration over the weekend on Saturday. And a big crowd turned out on campus and inside the Pete Maravich Center down there. I don't know about you, but De'Eriq King scares me if he goes anywhere in the SEC. If I'm an SEC defensive coordinator, I'd like him in Miami if I'm an SEC DC, so I don't have to worry about him. Let Brent Venables worry about that guy.
If I'm De'Eriq King, I'm definitely wanting to go to the SEC, you know, and especially a place like LSU because of the stage you will be on. Miami just seems like an afterthought right now. And this is a guy, when healthy, 2 years ago, 50 total touchdowns. He can play.
Arkansas doesn't worry me. I mean, you know, he'll score some points on you at Arkansas, but I feel pretty good. I still win that game if I'm a top SEC program. But the higher he climbs the ladder, the scarier it gets. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, if he's got a Jamar Chase and a Terrence Marshall and maybe a Thaddeus Moss.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see what all happens with those guys. I mean, the higher he climbs the ladder in the SEC, the scarier he gets.
As of last night, I haven't checked this morning. As of last night, Auburn in basketball's net down to number 20. And the LSU has the SEC has six teams bundled up between 20 and 42.
It is still 20. I checked this morning.
Auburn 20, LSU 23, Kentucky 27, Arkansas 32, Florida 39, Alabama 42. That's sort of your group of SEC NCAA tournament contenders right now. It was a bad week for Auburn basketball on the road at Alabama and on the road at Florida. Two places they have not had a lot of success winning basketball games. I don't know how much you read into that as they come home for two this week, but the fact of the matter, on the road, this Auburn team did not shoot the basketball well at all.
Yeah, you know, Dunaway, it's not a surprise they lose the game. You mentioned they don't have a lot of success. They haven't won in Gainesville since 1996. But when you come out, you miss 15 of your first 16 shots. You shoot 25% from the game, and you lose by 22. You know, coming off your only loss of the season, this is by far Auburn's worst performance.
It is. And the weird thing is, a lot of it, well, in Tuscaloosa, it was guard play. I mean, the whole team was sloppy in Tuscaloosa. Coro didn't have a great game. You got foul trouble, Wiley, but both guards fouled out in Tuscaloosa. And I think a lot of people kind of pointed at the guard play there. You go to Gainesville, and it doesn't get much better. I mean, you got 8 points out of Dowdy, 6 points out of McCormick. You got some turnovers.
And as you watch that game, Brown, they missed – I think they missed, I don't know the exact stat, but it was like they hit one of their first 16 shots from the field or something like that. You can't dig holes like that with that poor shooting. And they did a good job fighting back for a while, but when you're shooting that bad, the way you're designed to play, and you know, you can only do so much. They had a horrible week, and the naysayers will say, well, this team wasn't tested when they were 15-0. And now they've got tested by two teams who are trending towards the NCAA tournament on the road, and they had it handed to them. So it's a big week for Auburn, I think, at Auburn Arena, because they get a winnable game, easily winnable game against South Carolina, and then the SEC Big 12 Challenge at home to maybe one of the worst Iowa State teams that they've had in recent years. So it's an opportunity for Auburn to get back to the quote-unquote friendly confines of Auburn Arena.
Well, you need to win these next three games, because after that, you've got Kentucky coming into Auburn, and then you got to go to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. And then LSU, and then Alabama again. I mean,
really difficult after that.
Yeah, the same is true for Alabama and Auburn. Alabama's got a little bit more of a breather coming up with Vanderbilt. But then they get Kansas State, who's kind of struggling.
It is on the road at Vandy, though, which is always scary. That's I think Alabama fans referred to that as a house of horror.
Yeah, I mean, they have not won a lot of games up there over the last 30 years.
And that's what impressed me Saturday.
Two, in fact, I think is the number.
Brown and LT. Saturday, that felt like going in the type of game that Alabama teams in years past could lose. You have such a big win against Auburn, and then you come back against a Missouri team that has struggled, but they're athletic. I mean, they beat the eyes out of Mississippi State. I believe that was the team they won the one conference game. And that just felt like a game that they could lose going in, and then it started to slip away from them. And John Petty, I think, continues to show his maturity, especially down the stretch Saturday. Here's Nate Oates on what he got out of his veteran player, John Petty.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a capable shooter. He's been shooting the ball really well. I thought in the second half his energy was much better. He's getting on the glass and playing hard on defense. Got out, got some buckets that weren't threes. Got in the lane, got an offensive rebound, foul on, went to the free throw line and made it. So those are the things that we're trying to really, you know, get him to do a lot better job of, not just be a shooter. And I thought he did a pretty good job of that in the second half.
Yeah, 9 points down the stretch when it looked like Missouri was going to close in and steal this one on the road, and it was going to be a bad loss for Alabama. And Petty was there with the buckets they needed.
This is exactly how Nate Oates wants his team to play. 39 threes they hoist up. You know, they only make 13 of them, but they were averaging right at 11 a game. To make 13 is exactly what they want. They shoot 45% from the field, all five starters in double figures. The thing that kept me engaged in this game was Missouri's free throws. They were 31 of 31. And, you know, watching the broadcast, they said the all-time record is 35 of 35. So I was just hoping they would get to the stripe at least 35 times.
Yeah, that's the all-time record. They blew past the SEC record.
But that's amazing. I mean, 31 of 31.
That's incredible. And they still lose by 14. That's hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
To make 31 free throws in a game and still lose by double digits is pretty crazy.
As Paul points out, only Gonzaga averages more points per game than Alabama, and everyone's loving the Nate Oates style of play. They are scoring the basketball, and when you've watched over the years, Mark Gottfried and Anthony Grant's team struggled to – I mean, what that was sort of the MO in Alabama, wasn't it, Brown, that you would go 7 minutes, 8 minutes without a field goal?
You know,
every game, long stretches, no field goal.
And Paul is right about this. I looked to see how bunched up it was after Gonzaga. Alabama is number two by 0.3 of a point per game over Eastern Washington, 83.5 points per game Alabama's averaging. And in my lifetime, Alabama has never had a basketball coach that coaches this style of basketball. I mean, Wimp didn't, right?
Yeah.
Wimp was never going to average 83 points per game. David Hobbs, Mark Gottfried, Anthony Grant, Avery Johnson.
And with Wimp, I mean, I think he'll admit it when he comes on with us again Thursday, but when you took bad shots or forced a shot in Wimp's system, he would pull you out. I mean, you had to look over to the sideline when Wimp was coaching. If you didn't play within the system.
It's crazy.
Nate Oates just wants you to shoot.
He does, and it's crazy when you look at the shot charts. Everything is a three or a rim shot. Yeah. Every single thing.
Yeah, they actually showed it Saturday.
I know, it's insane.
I thought that was amazing when the analyst showed
that. And there was only
that.
One of the old school, like, 15-foot shots.
Right. And, I mean, it just, I know you have to, like you said, Lance, you gave the numbers from three. I mean, you got to be comfortable missing a lot of three-pointers. But it's just a volume game. The more you shoot.
Yeah, they missed 26 of them.
Yeah.
And you still win the game handily.
Yeah. The more you shoot, the better. I mean, it's literally the shot has a higher value than anything else you do.
Yeah, and by the way, this Missouri team, I mean, when you look at them, they're offensively challenged. But statistically, best defense in the SEC, they came in allowing less than 60 points per game.
Yeah.
They give up a season high 80.
I know. I mean, it's the way this offense is playing is nothing like Alabama basketball has ever seen.
Yeah. Tide Hoop News says it was Florida they beat. It was Mississippi State who beat them. So Missouri has been really good this year without a lot of wins. And Alabama handled that one at home after a big win over Auburn. And they go on the road at Vandy and then a home game against Kansas State, who, by the way, got a big win over the weekend in the Big 12 as they got a big win over West Virginia this past weekend. So Kansas State will come to Tuscaloosa hot. Another opportunity for Alabama, who has surged in to the NCAA tournament conversation. What is amazing about this basketball season, that with another loss by Auburn over the weekend, another loss by Baylor to an unranked DePaul team, 14 unranked teams have wins over the top five, maybe 15 now. I don't know if that included the DePaul win over Butler. But that's not just top five losses. That is unranked teams beating teams in the top five this year. 14 or 15 of those have already happened, and we're not to February.
It's incredible.
I think this shows you that this year's NCAA tournament is going to be as unpredictable as any we've ever seen.
Well, I think we said that last year, too, right, because we had so many upsets. And this seems to be even further down that road.
Yeah, but it seems like we had more elite teams last year.
But I remember us saying exactly the same thing, that there is so much turnover in the polls every week that it's going to be chaotic. And I think we've gone to a different level this year.
But, you know, last year we knew Virginia was really good. But if I asked you right now, hey, you've got to give me one team that will be in the Final Four, do you feel comfortable?
No, I would take the one that always disappoints me.
Gonzaga?
It's Gonzaga. I mean, they've ruined more polls than...
Okay.
Yep.
You didn't have to. You don't trust Baylor?
Nope, I don't.
Okay.
I had to take a second to let that soak over my bracket. No, I don't.
Right.
You?
I don't trust any of them. There's not a single team up there I trust. Why would I? I've not seen anything to make me trust anybody this year.
Speaking of which, your NCAA bracket payoff is coming up very soon.
Correct.
You were working out details about that yesterday.
I was trying to do some. I'm just waiting on you guys to let me know you're good to go on the challenges, and we'll put it on the calendar. I just don't want to jump that portion of it. I don't want to say, like, hey, I'll do it Wednesday.
Well, I mean, seriously, if you need to get it done Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm good just going – with the Smokey and the Bandit. You dress like Smokey and the Bandit and the Burt Reynolds.
Well, which ones?
Full,
no, we want you
the Bandit. Yeah, okay. You want the Bandit. Yeah.
All right.
Full, for T-Justice.
Yeah, full mustache and
right.
Cowboy hat.
Okay.
Can we get, is there a theater department that can, as Brown wears his...
He needs that red, like, silk shirt.
Yeah, and it needs to be unbuttoned a little bit. And can we get some fake chest hair that would poke out like Burt Reynolds?
You know, this is not on camera, but...
you're good about putting it on camera.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I can give, by myself, give the full costume its due, but I am willing to wear the full costume.
Yeah.
That's what you're asking me.
No, so we're doing that, and you only eat at gas stations, right?
I mean, if that's one of the challenges, I guess I could do that.
And take pictures on your head in front of the state.
Yeah, the state line signs are key as well. Yes, I'm doing all those things, apparently.
All right, so you're good to go. You can go anytime starting tomorrow.
Okay, as long as I dress like that, well, I mean, we've got to find that out. Basically, the hat and the red silk shirt are the tough part.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to get just close to the hat.
I don't know that you're going to be able to replicate that.
I mean, because that does have a big Florida-like emblem on the front of it. So, yeah, I'm good with that.
Man, I wish we had you a Trans Am.
How many times have I said that?
Yeah, I mean, that I did think about that, but I also thought we did the calculations yesterday. It's roughly 1,300 to 1,400 miles, and that Trans Am is on interstates. I mean, I guess the Bandit did it, though, right? They came all the way across the country.
Yeah, but I don't know if you noticed, he had a police officer chasing him a lot.
A lot, yeah. I had to take some dirt roads on occasion.
He did.
Did that Trans Am have power steering back then?
Oh, probably not. I think it's a 5-speed, too. It's not like it's an automatic, right?
Okay, let's add that to the challenge. Let's take it to a local shop. You can't drive with power steering either.
You got to go tires.
See if you can do it on one axle.
Yeah, my favorite one of the suggestion was windows rolled down the entire time.
I mean, in the spring or summer, I'm okay with that. But, boy, this time of year, some of the places I'm going are going to be cold.
But even in the spring and summertime,
yeah,
it can be annoying sometimes when you're trying to listen to a good song.
Yeah.
On the radio, that it's all right.
So authentic.
These sound effects always. I love them.
Well, give me windows down.
Oh, it's stronger than that. You're too.
The question is: who are the top five quarterbacks in the SEC going into next year? The Dallas Morning News writes a story that lists their top five. Already looking at the 3-4 people that have jumped in on Twitter with their top five, they're not going to be happy about the Dallas Morning News. 5-1 from the Dallas Morning News. At number five, Ryan Helinski, South Carolina.
Almost made my list.
Yeah.
I got him at number six.
Considered him, but did not put him in my top five.
Number four, Bo Nix, Auburn.
That's where I have Bo Nix, in fact.
I've got Bo at number three.
Jamie Newman, Georgia.
Had him number five, right behind Bo Nix.
I did not put Jamie Newman on the list because I was doing returning guys.
Any quarterback going in.
So if you want to,
I will change my list.
If you think Bryce Young's a top five quarterback next year, put him in there. Kellen Mond, Texas A&M, and Kyle Trask of Florida, number one. Now, it's worth noting here, the Dallas Morning News, and I assume some others, will say Kyle Trask is the best returning quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. Kyle Trask, who's yet to start a full season of college football and hadn't started a game all the way back to his junior high days before he came in after the injury this past year. If you'll notice, not one Alabama quarterback listed in the top five by the Dallas Morning News.
Do they address that? Do they say, hey, we got no clues starting at Alabama, so we leave them out? Or because it would be an obvious omission.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You posed this question yesterday, Dunaway, and the guy I immediately said was number one on my list would be Kyle Trask.
Yeah, that's who I've got number one is Kyle Trask. I mean, Kyle Trask finished second in the SEC in passing this year.
Well, why
and as you mentioned, he didn't even start the whole season.
Why do you not go Mac Jones?
Well, I've got Mac Jones number two.
Mac Jones number two.
Why not Mac Jones one? Is it because you don't – is there a chance he doesn't win the job? Is that why you're hesitant to put him at number one?
I just don't know that his numbers will be better than Kyle Trask. I mean, I think Trask is the – appears to be, at least right now, the better of the two quarterbacks. And again, starting –
So give me the numbers compared to when Mac was starting.
Okay,
compared on. To
well, they're gonna be a little skewed over Kyle Trask just because of the offense that Mac is in.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, get
the reason
that.
The offense goes.
I'm just talking about when I watch both of these better. I'm more of a sample size with Kyle Trask. Trask looked to be a little bit better of a quarterback, but I've got Mac Jones right
how,
there.
How many
two.
How many games did Trask?
And by the
start?
Way, I would go Jamie Newman number three.
And that's what the Dallas Morning News. Yeah. You haven't gotten to Kellen Mond yet on your list. Give me the other.
Yeah, I had Bo Nix four. I'd have Kellen Mond at five.
Kellen Mond at five.
So I think that's still just more upside based on what I saw Kellen Mond a couple of years
ago. I'd Kellen Mond at three. So we did this exercise after the Michigan game. We took the starts for Mac Jones, which were Arkansas, Auburn, Michigan, and Western Carolina, which is pretty good. That's a good representative sample of what a schedule would look like. And we said, okay, well, let's just say if he had started 12 games with those numbers, what would he have? It'd be 3,500 passing yards, 39 touchdowns, six picks, which would have been second across the board in the Southeastern Conference this year, only behind Joe Burrow. So I think those numbers already were there.
Say it again. Only behind Joe Burrow, who just
way behind Joe Burrow.
I know, but only behind Joe Burrow, who just had the, you know, greatest, you know, competition-wise, greatest season ever. You know, Cam Newton still probably had a better season with the talent around him.
Well, Mac Jones' numbers, if you just take his four starts and you multiply it by three to get 12 starts, that would have been 16th nationally in passing yardage and fourth in touchdowns. Just his, you know, his four-start numbers, if he could hold that up for a 12-game season. I can't remember how many starts Lance Kyle Trask had. I mean, he took over after Kentucky, right?
Yeah, and he was the starter every game since Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, he probably had 10, 11 starts.
Okay. I thought it was less than that.
Oh, it is less than that.
Yeah, because the Kentucky game.
Kentucky was deep into the season.
Yeah, so he ended up with 2,900 pass yards, 25 touchdowns, seven picks in his limited starts. So, you know, that's the thing. You just got to guess. If I see Kyle Trask for a full year in that offense, and if I see Mac Jones for a full year, I've got a much better representative sample, I think, for Kyle Trask. I mean, he played in 12 games last year. And gosh, I would guess of the 12, eight of those were starts for him. I would guess the Kentucky game was like fourth game of the year for Tennessee, if I remember right. So I think he probably got eight good starts out of Kyle Trask.
September 14th
was
the Florida-Kentucky game.
Much earlier than I thought then.
Yeah.
So he took over, but yeah, I think we got a good look at Kyle Trask. So I had him number one.
Both of you guys go Kyle Trask at number one.
Yeah, I went Mac Jones two, Kellen Mond three, Bo Nix four, and Jamie Newman five.
Okay, coming in, Paul gives us Mac Jones, Trask, Mond, Newman, and Bo Nix. So those five are in different orders, or about the list you have there.
So you know where, because you guys are talking about Helinski, who I did consider, but I don't even know where to go with this. But are you guys willing to say, based on his history, that the Mike Leach quarterback will factor into this?
Oh, yeah. Well, and especially the guy that Dunaway mentioned yesterday might be in the mix.
The word is that KJ Costello and Mike Leach are meeting.
Yeah, I mean, with Costello, with his experience.
So, Lance, you think that much of KJ Costello from Stanford that if you threw him in the Mike Leach air raid system?
Yeah, I mean, Costello had a bad year last year. 2 years ago, Costello was good for Stanford. And I think in that offense, yeah, I think he could be really
good. Because Stanford quarterbacks don't necessarily look like a prototypical air raid quarterback to me.
But again, you know, how is this air raid going to work in the SEC?
That is a question I don't know the answer to. But I'm willing to say if I knew the name, if I even knew a reasonable name to throw out there, I would have considered the Mike Leach quarterback for this top five. I mean, everywhere he's going, those guys have put up numbers. Doesn't mean they're the best quarterback, but their numbers are often the best in whatever league he's in.
Were you hesitant? Did you even think about Miles Brennan at LSU? Because what their system did this year, I mean, they turned Joe Burrow, who you guys really were very, you know, very flat on going into the year. But with the offense, you know, does LSU become a system location? Obviously, they're going to try to keep the same offense without Joe Brady. Miles Brennan or whoever ends up being their quarterback has to be part of the conversation.
I guess so. He's just lost so much. I mean, I know they've recruited well down there, but man, when you look at the weapons, the offensive line up in front of him that he has lost and the running back behind him, it's
a different year going in to this SEC season with quarterbacks. When last year you had so much proven talent at the top, Tua and Jake Fromm and Joe Burrow, who ended up being the Heisman winner. It is time for Four Downs, brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires. You got four great locations of those, Lance.
Yeah, Gardendale, Hoover, Moody, and Trustful. Hunting season in full effect. Guys at Vulcan do tires for ATVs and trailers. Get set up. One of those great locations are online, VulcanTireAndAuto.com.
First down.
All right, in the next 5 years, more Super Bowl appearances for Patrick Mahomes or national championship appearances for the Clemson Tigers?
So I mean, Clemson has done this four straight years, right?
In the, in the championship.
They played four of the last five.
Yeah, in the championship game.
Had one semifinal, yeah.
I would take, I know it sounds cliche, but I'm going to take Clemson here because it is so hard, I think, to get back to Super Bowls in the NFL.
I mean, there is a chance Patrick Mahomes isn't in the playoffs next year.
Oof.
Well, I mean, Lance, you say that you would have said the same thing.
It's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah,
fact,
I mean,
right?
50% of the teams turn over.
Here's what I would say, though, about the AFC right now. I mean, Lamar Jackson had a great year. But outside of that, and I think Deshaun Watson's a really good player, you know, Tom Brady in New England's going the other way. Kansas City seems like that organization right now in the AFC that's going to be hanging around for a long time.
They do. I just know how the NFL works.
I think Mahomes is going to be back there. I think they're back there at least once or twice in the next 5 years.
I would say that, yeah, once or twice. In the Super Bowl or in the playoffs?
Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl. Super Bowl. Once or twice in the next 5 years, huh?
I'm not buying it.
That is tough to do.
Clemson has a free pass to the playoffs.
I know. That was my point.
Always win a game.
That was my point.
I probably would lean Clemson.
I think I'm going to go Clemson here, too.
That's why I went Clemson. And, you know, I've lived a life that the great Dan Marino went to one and never got back.
I know you did. Trust me.
Second down.
That's coming up.
So trust me.
All right. Who's a bigger priority in the 2020 season for the Tennessee Titans? Quarterback Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry?
Okay, so I'm there's a roundabout answer to this question. I'm going to say Derrick Henry just because I think the Titans are dumb if they do one of these long-term deals with Ryan Tannehill. What are they talking about, 4 or 5 years?
That's just because you're a Dolphins
fan.
No,
it is not. It is not at all because I'm a Dolphins fan.
Well, this is his third contract.
I agree with you.
Being a Dolphins fan, I have seen what Ryan Tannehill actually is.
As a Titans fan, I agree with you, though.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday when they went away from running Derrick Henry and throwing the ball, did that look like the football you wanted to see the rest of your life?
Wasn't good enough football to win an AFC championship.
You know, if I'm John Robinson, I know the better player is Derrick Henry. But the problem is, once these running backs get this second contract, it almost never works
out. That is true.
And I know I've got to have a quarterback has got to be priority. I'm doing some kind of 3-year deal for Tannehill.
That's probably the way I'm going. Here's the other problem. And I face this as a Dolphins fan. There is part of my answer is being a Dolphins fan. I have always said if you find a quarterback in the top half of the league, you marry that guy, right? Yep. And Ryan Tannehill is right there on that border.
But it makes him tough.
It makes it tough. Yeah. He's the one place you don't want to be, the tough decision. Because
Eli Manning was there a lot.
I know I can do a lot worse. I feel like I could do better, but I don't know how I'm going to do better. Am I going to draft to do better? You just don't get good free agent quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'd call Cincinnati and see if they're interested in Derrick Henry.
For the first pick.
And what else they wanted.
Wow.
Give a roll at Joe Burrow.
That'd be bold.
Third down.
All right, who is the biggest surprise, talking about running backs, and coming back for their senior season, Travis Etienne or Najee Harris with Alabama?
Well, I thought both were surprising, but I'm going to say Etienne's the most surprising. And because I thought, you know, I thought his stock was higher than Najee Harris going to the draft, and both of them come back. But I'm going to say Etienne's more surprising.
Yeah,
to me.
Really surprised Etienne because he was the fourth-ranked running back coming into this draft by Mel Kiper. This is a guy that's gone over 1,600 rushing yards his last two seasons. He's got an ACC record, 56 touchdowns. I just don't know what else he really wanted to accomplish here.
He was at least the draft analyst, normally about the number four running back, right? So that's probably third round?
Or maybe early second.
Maybe second. You don't know? I mean, you don't know where running backs start to go. I haven't even looked at a carries comparison, but he and Najee Harris haven't been used a ton, right? I mean, I don't know who's got the more carries of the two.
I think Etienne has.
I would assume
Etienne, but yep. You got to remember, Etienne's in a lot of games where that baby is locked down in the third quarter, and he's able to rest.
Fourth down.
Of course, Najee Harris has been in that, too. All right, who has had the more underwhelming postseason career? I'm sorry, Brown. Dan Marino or Aaron Rodgers?
It's a real question with Marino.
So Marino was 8-10 in his postseason record, but you look at Aaron Rodgers now 1-3 in NFC Championship games. To me, elite, you know, quarterbacks, and people talk about top five quarterbacks, you got to be able to win those games, right?
Did that look like an Aaron Rodgers problem yesterday or a defensive problem with the Packers?
Defense, but it's still, Aaron Rodgers had bad body language.
Well, he was 31-39 passing. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a number for body language, but he was 31-39 passing and 2 touchdowns. I know he threw 2 picks. One of them was kind of.
And he had a fumble. So
he did have a fumble.
Yeah, but I think he was 7 of 7 passing when they were down 17-0. He hadn't thrown an incomplete pass yet.
Yeah,
seven of seven for 48 yards.
I didn't feel like, I know the quarterback gets too much blame, too much credit. I didn't feel like I'd pin the blame on Aaron Rodgers in that one.
Yeah, because they never could get momentum going. They couldn't stop him.
Going in, you're ready to pin the blame on the team, not the quarterback for the Packers. Plus, one guy has the coveted prize and one does not. So straight up postseason career.
Yeah, Dan Marino. I mean, I think Marino is going to be the one that wins this debate for most people, right?
I still view Marino as the better quarterback.
Too. Oh, I think he's the better quarterback, which probably makes his postseason record more, you know, less forgivable, however you want to word that, more disappointing than what Aaron Rodgers did.
That is Four Downs, brought to you by Vulcan Tires. 11 years ago Saturday, well, 10 years ago Saturday, we started our show. We're going into our 11th year now together here on the Jocks Roundtable, and our buddy John Lunsford, who just recently joined us, has put together a list of things that did not make it to the start of year 11, and we'll react to some of these.
All right, so we'll start in sports, NFL careers, Hall of Fame careers even. Wow. When I think Hall of Fame career, I think over 10 years. I think sustained career.
Longevity.
Barry Sanders, only 10 years, so you have now surpassed even the great Barry Sanders.
There you go, Rockstar.
He looks super excited to be on that podium.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Earl Campbell, 8 years.
He only ran for Love You Blue 8 years?
Yeah. 8 years.
That's almost believable because of his style.
He gave it all, man, and he's paid the price. He was the one guy in that list of the top 11 at the national championship game. I was like, you go, Earl. Let Earl stand wherever he wants to. He deserved to be up there.
Terrell Davis, 7 years. So running backs, I know running backs have a shorter shelf life.
Boy.
Only 7 years, though. Kellen Winslow, Hall of Famer, 9 years. And then...
Was it Christmas Day when they had to carry him off the field playoffs?
Yeah.
I don't think it was Christmas Day.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, I think.
Yeah, maybe New Year's Eve.
I think it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so those are some Hall of Famers. It wasn't a lot, but
it's hard to believe Terrell Davis made the Hall of Fame only playing 7 years.
Two Super Bowls.
It was important 7 years. I get it. Yep. It's just 7 years.
Really good offensive line back then. I wonder how good he would have been with another franchise.
Probably. I mean, he wasn't even a standout at Georgia, was he?
No. Nope. He was far better at Denver than he was at Georgia.
Let's see. Celebrity marriages. A lot of these have not lasted this long.
This is going to be believable.
Not more lasted this long. This is more for a comedy effect. Dennis Rodman, Carmen Electra, 9 days.
Let me beat that one.
Kid Rock, Pam Anderson, 122 days.
That's actually longer than I would have thought.
See, home.
Every Britney Spears marriage.
What? All of them.
All of them.
Yes.
Drew Barrymore, Tom Green, 166 days. Katy Perry, Russell Brand, 14 months. Scarlett Johansson, Ryan Reynolds, 3 years. Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, since we're on the SAG Awards last night where they held hands, 5 years.
It was a touching moment, people say. I wasn't watching. But.
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, 2 years. Before he then cheated on her.
Yeah, he had a funny line last night. He said, I can't remember.
Set that up perfectly.
But it was about, it was his character. He said, winning these awards is really uncomfortable because this was such a, this role was such a stretch for me. Actor who always walks around with his shirt off and doesn't get along with his wives. And, you know,
did they cut to Jennifer Aniston?
They cut to Jennifer Aniston. She went,
yeah, I'll take some of that.
Let's see. Bands didn't last as long as the Roundtable in its current form. You mentioned the Beatles, 10 years. So you have now surpassed that.
Well, they burn bright and fast. And I did watch, I don't know, I watched, was it an infomercial on the last days of John Lennon? And, I mean, Yoko did break it up, but they were way headed in that direction before then. And it is really hard to believe, as good as they had it going, they couldn't figure out how to stay together.
Well, I mean, eventually a lot of people wanted to do their own thing, right?
Yeah, four songwriters wanted to be the main songwriter.
Yeah.
Seems to happen. The Runaways, 4 years. The Sex Pistols, 4 years. NWA, 4 years. Nirvana, 7 years. The Doors, 8 years. Jimi Hendrix, only active for 7 years.
A lot of people had to die to end these runs. I know some of these. I don't know if you noticed that theme.
Jimi Hendrix, Nirvana, definitely up there.
So the fact that we actually made it alive to start year 11.
Right.
The Verve, who, for those that don't know, The Verve is the band that does Bittersweet Symphony, which is the final song.
That's right.
Only lasted 9 years.
Did not know they would be included here. Yeah. What else have they done?
I couldn't tell you.
Lucky Man is a great song.
Oh, yeah?
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Not that.
I wouldn't know Bittersweet Symphony if it wasn't for the fact of being an intern a long time ago. It was still even the song then. So that song has had play here longer than the band actually existed. So I will say that.
Think about that. Yeah, how about that?
Let's see. Every major war except Vietnam has lasted shorter than the round table.
Well, I'm glad we had last war. Yeah.
What, the Hundred Years War?
Nope, didn't make that one.
Revolutionary War shorter, Civil War shorter, World War One, World War Two, Korean War, Gulf War. I guess technically the war right now is still going on. But anyway, Game of Thrones, the actual timeline in the show, only supposed to be around 3 or 4 years. And, of course, the show itself lasted 8 seasons, so that's 8 years. So the show, roundtable will be both of those.
Can I just point out, also from the SAG Awards last night, Joe Jonas is dating the Queen of the North.
Yep.
Well, they're married.
They're married, yeah.
They're married?
Mm-hmm.
You got married?
Oh, my goodness. She can do better than him, right? He's a short dude.
I mean, he could probably do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jonas Brothers have that much money?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
Crows before.
Moving on.
Well, I'm going to go Joe Jonas. Hang on. Joe Jonas net worth. How much do you think he's got?
He's probably worth 20, 25 million.
40, it says here.
I was going to say 40 or 50.
Well, how much does she have? She's got to have more than that, right?
She's got dragons.
It's probably close.
But outside again,
he's
of Thrones,
got more earning potential moving forward.
Outside of Game of Thrones, she's only done X-Men.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, but now she's got to be getting better roles.
Music money is crazy.
Oh, her net worth is only $17 million. But she'll, as the longer Game of Thrones goes, she's making money off every time that airs, right? I mean, she's got residuals.
Yeah, but he's going to continue to, touring and everything.
Yeah. Let's see.
Nick Jonas more talented than Joan Jonas.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I would agree. Yes. the DeLorean Motor Company only lasted 7 years. Even though the DeLorean from Back to the Future, they've been defunct for 3 years when that movie came out. I know that's one of the most iconic cars ever, but the company only lasted 7 years.
Well, that was self-inflicted, too, because didn't he get in a lot of legal trouble?
Yeah.
They just made a movie on this.
A lot of cocaine.
Yeah.
That'll run you down.
Why don't we open the door up instead?
A guy in my neighborhood, when I was a kid, had a DeLorean. We thought it was the coolest thing in the world when he'd drive by.
It was a cool car.
Where Brown lived.
Dude, yeah. I mean, it's nothing. Some guys had a random DeLorean.
Can they get it to 88? That's the speed.
Yeah, that was the speed. Yes. Very good. Yeah.
Thought I'd miss that one, too.
The oldest hamster that's ever lived is 4.5 years, so you're over double that.
All right.
So congratulations.
The oldest hamsters ever?
Yeah.
How do they know that?
Horrible. Hamsters just, I guess they don't live long.
Horrible pet.
That's in the Guinness Book of World Records. The longest time spent in space by any person. Total time, not just one flight, 878 days. So this has been around longer than anybody's ever spent in space. The headphone jack on the iPhone only lasted 9 years before they got rid of it.
Wow. Yeah.
A lot of controversy there getting rid of that headphone jack.
Yeah,
because my wife now has got the 11, and I don't even know which one this is, but that's still not even the same. The little slot in the bottom now.
That's like the lightning port. You got to have an adapter now to put your headphones
in. I mean, it's crazy how often they change that thing.
I have the 8.
It's called Money Brown.
I know.
I think the 7 or 8 was the first one to do it.
You know what? You know what? The thing that I hate most about it is the headphones I use on this show, and Lance does too, are the Apple iPhone headphones.
That I assume are going away.
The earbuds. I've got a couple stashed away for when these crap out. But
I don't think you can buy them anymore. Once I go through them all,
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to find new headphones.
But it's, you know, and I know everything is wireless now. The wireless earbuds are really cool. I've got a couple of pair as well.
Yeah.
But there's something iconic about that white earphone look, you know, when U2, those commercials first came out, and they used U2 as a marketing
and they forced you to listen to the album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put it on your phone for you.
Yeah.
Lauren Sisler has tweeted us from AL.com and SEC Network, says she wanted to name her child DeLorean at one point in her life. True story.
But But not anymore. You're about to get married. This is when you can actually start thinking names.
Is that a girl or a boy name?
I didn't know. Either way.
I know she had a kid.
I guess it could go either way, yeah.
She doesn't have a kid yet.
Oh.
Okay.
Read that too literally.
here are some things that did not exist when the show started, when y'all got together. The iPad did not exist.
Come on, seriously?
I thought LT's had that same one.
Yeah, same exact one. Every day.
I've got one. This is 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Well, you've transitioned since? 2010, I believe.
April 2010, so 3 months.
How about that? We beat the iPad.
Y'all beat the iPad by 3 months.
I wonder if it was in trash on the table that first year.
Like that, Steve Jobs.
This stupid thing
called
the iPad.
They just released this thing called the iPad.
Siri.
Never work.
I went and bought one.
No, I guarantee that was first in line.
He was like, Jimmy Curry, got to have the iPad.
Siri was invented October 2011.
Wow.
So sticking with the Apple thing here. Snapchat did not exist till July 2011. Instagram did not exist till August 2010. Pinterest did not exist. Smart speakers did not exist. Tinder did not exist.
We beat Tinder.
The things we could have created.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I got from all that.
Netflix did not have original programming yet.
No, DVDs.
Netflix had been around for a while doing the DVD thing. The first show on Netflix, first original show, you know what it is?
House of Cards.
House of Cards, February 2013.
Really?
Yep.
So Netflix, when our show started, was still mailing you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we could have been
over 3 years later.
Stock in Netflix, and we could all be out of here by now.
Over 3 years later for them to finally develop something original.
How about that?
And Candy Crush, you know the game?
Oh, yeah.
On mobile devices. It's made $5.4 billion. It didn't exist till April 2012. So 2 years after y'all started, game's made $5.4 billion, and it's only the fifth highest grossing game ever.
I heard the other day, I think it was on SiriusXM the other day, I heard somebody say that just 1 year through in-game, only through in-game app, in-app purchases during the game, they made $1 million a day. Candy Crush when it was at its peak.
Mm-hmm.
Just on that.
It's stupid.
Just like you could pay to skip a level or something. Like if you couldn't complete a level, you could pay 99 cents to skip it. Just on that, they made $1 million.
Is the concept pretty easy?
Oh, it's basically, remember the
Bejeweled? Tetris, right?
It's like Tetris. Yeah, you like Bejeweled? Match like three candies in a row.
To make
the
line disappear or whatever. Yeah.
It's kind of like Tetris. Kind of like Bejeweled, like he said.
Never played.
If you even know what that is.
Oh, I've never played. I just know what it is. I can't believe they made that kind of money on it.
And it's only the fifth highest grossing game.
What's number one?
Some Japanese game. The highest one anybody else has heard of. Anybody else has heard of.
I thought that was your wheelhouse.
Is Clash of Clans has made $6.4 billion. But,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Man. The one that paid Kate Upton to ride the horse, did that make any money?
That's Game of War. I don't even remember.
Was the horse CGI?
No, that was War of the Worlds, was it not? World of Warcraft.
No, World of Warcraft. I actually played that. Hers was Game of War, I think. I don't think it's up here. Puzzle and Dragons.
Good
game. Highest grossing game, $7.7 billion, I think.
What are we going to call it? Puzzle and Dragons.
What is it? It's a pinball game.
Yep.
What?
All right.
That's all I got.
That's our list. Lunsford, thank you so much for grabbing that. As we start year 11 today together, a lot of fun.
Interact with us on Twitter @JocksRoundtable.